We're reaching the end of chapter 16. And we've had this theme yesterday and today about suffering. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. There are several reasons for that. One is to see the vision of the depth of the darkness in which the world is held, and to weep over that, intercede for that. It used to be, at least in pagan countries, there was a certain amount of family discipline. Things were taught in the family that were necessary. Even that's lost. And the youth don't know where to turn. And then they're cultivated by forces, both human and demonic, to bring them to destruction. We will weep and mourn. Well, the world rejoices. But then your grief will be turned into joy. Why? Because I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice. Now, these words apply on many levels. These are the words of the Lord Christ to the whole church for all time. But there will come a time, church, body of mine, when we will rejoice. It was the whole purpose of my death and resurrection, was to bring joy back into this world and to complete it one day. The Lord is committed to our joy. I have come that you could have joy and have it in abundance. And that's why this text is so important, because it shows us for what reason the Lord has called us, what he has in mind for us, what is the true meaning of our existence, which is surely not the few years we spend here. It's joy. Joy. We were made for joy. It's amazing, you know, the saints, you read their lives. If you read somebody else's life of a saint, and you read what they went through, their sickness, their suffering, their rejection, you just say, well, I think I'll just be a Sunday Catholic and you know, throw a few bucks in your collection plate and hope for the best. But if you read what the saints say, they're always talking about joy. So where are we? With the world or with the saints, you see? That's a promise. Therese, Saint Therese, has a place where she's saying, this is toward the end of her life, she said, I understand our Lord now when he prayed and in the psalm and said, why have you abandoned me, to the Father? I'm like that now. I'm in complete darkness. She was, you know, she lived through atheism in all but the top point of her spirit. And she sanctified that experience, which is the experience of our world today, so that souls would be saved. She said, I'm in this darkness, but at the very tip of my spirit, I am in unbelievable joy. I don't have access to that all the time, but I know it's there. This is why this passage is so important, because it reminds us. Jesus came to save us from our sins. That's right. Is that all? That's wonderful. Is that all? No. He came to give us eternal joy. He rose from the dead and broke all the bonds of darkness, sin, and death, and shares it with us every day at this Eucharist. You say, well, I don't feel that. Well, of course, one of the reasons is because our sense life is so powerful that it obscures our spirit life. Like Therese could be in that tremendous suffering and still have joy. So it's a call, huh? It's a call to be really living, seeking the Lord, finding comfort in the Lord, going to the Lord and just saying, Lord, my comfort's in your hands. I want to praise you. I want to be here. And I want to intercede for the world. It breaks your heart, I know it. And it even breaks my heart. And so that's the meaning of most of this passage. And then, in that context, we have this remark. Amen, amen. It's a solemn moment of revelation whenever we have that in the gospel. Amen, amen. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. The Father will give it to you if you ask in my name. You say, well, I once lost a little puppy dog and I prayed all day and he never came back. Do you keep on praying? Do you keep on praying? What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Just to say, Father, this is in Jesus' name. Can I have it? Or does it mean to have our whole spirit identified with Jesus and declare his name, which is Son of God? Declare his name in the depth of our spirit and be united with him. And then ask whatever you want. Because we're friends. The purpose of my speaking to you is to lead you to union with myself. And then together we pray. We're getting ready now. We have just a little over a week before the Feast of Pentecost. Now, you know, we've been getting ready for that feast for 90 days. All through Lent, and then the resurrection, and now getting ready, because this is the feast that defines the Christian life. We live by the Holy Spirit, who leads us, who witnesses to who Jesus is, who leads us. We live by the Holy Spirit. So, did you all find a novena? They're all over the place, you know. They're online, they're under the line. I mean, they're all over. Get one and start. Not just for yourself, for the whole church, for all Christian believers, that through us, the world can find some direction again. Pretty exciting, isn't it? To know that on Pentecost Day, whenever that is, every year, God himself will act. Did you ever think of that? Every day, for instance, we decide. Mass will be at 7:15. We decide. And then, at the consecration, Christ comes. And, contrary to our normal habit, he's never late. He come. Now that's love, isn't it? So let's begin to pray and pray for the whole world, that the Holy Blessed Spirit will come and strengthen the church to be a real witness, to lead the world out of this darkness, this confusion, this anger, into joy.